coming up. Anyway, I'd like to actually let you know that this work has been done on behalf of the National Highway Safety Transit Association through a grant that was funded, now it's probably about 4 years ago. And, of course, we have no disclosures to share. Dr. Karen Peters is also in the room, who has been our great research evaluator for this, so thank you very much. And Essie Wagner from the National Highway Safety Transportation and Safety Administration has been fantastic in supporting this initiative. And just to let you know, if anybody has not heard about the Older Driver Assessing, Counseling, and Treating Older Drivers, it came out of a train-the-trainer program many years ago. And it is one of the highly recognized programs to help healthcare professionals, not just physicians. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about how this program came to be and what it is, and then share some of the results, because we were very excited about it. The Older Drivers Project really highlighted the how do we make sure that older drivers are safe and aware of their needs, but through healthcare professionals. So we did a pilot web course that was designed from the Train the Trainer project. And we received interest from major academic centers that really wanted to be part of this online web-based course. So we were trying to move the educational piece from direct education to a more web-based interconnectivity piece. So the fun part about it was that we were able to see which institutions across the country wanted to really push their educational experience to this online form. And the other part was that we had a great program to begin with. So we took that program, put it into place. We learned a ton about how to do that. And we were able to share it with six pilot sites across the country, four of which were academic centers. Now, the primary and secondary audiences, we highlighted that we really wanted to get residency programs, that those are individuals who really are in the medical field, for especially physicians. But we also wanted to be open that other physicians or healthcare providers may have an interest in this. So we'll show you how we did that. Ultimately, the results really highlighted near 90% of practice behavior change will occur or they want it to occur, and the importance to each of the practitioners. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But the aims of this project were really to increase the knowledge about older driver safety. And we know, we've heard the stories throughout many of our cities that there's, you know, an older driver that got into an accident. Well, we know that happens, but what has been happening in practice before that? And how can we change the assessment process? And we understood from the educational programs, not a lot of education had occurred with assessing older adults regarding their driving and any medical issues that are connected to that. So the interest to develop the web-based really identified the need to really attend to something that is mainstream, that's not as labor-intensive, something that we can get away from training the trainer to trying to do this broad-basedly. So we wanted to get young physicians as well as established, because we knew that established physicians also were not understanding all the assessment protocol that needed to be done to ensure older adults were going to be safe with driving and the medical issues that came into play. So the big aim for this project was that we were going to reach 50,000 physicians once it was established over a two-year period, and that we really wanted to highlight how this web-based curriculum was effective. And we did, again, identify residencies. But what was also coming up was the reality that, especially physicians, but all healthcare practitioners are driven now to improve quality in their practices. So we felt that maybe we could tie this in with improving quality and practice through the what's called the Performance Improvement CME that physicians can attain. So that's why we went to the secondary evaluation of really understanding what are some ways that we could show the change in practice as well. Because residents aren't in practice for the most part, but we wanted to see if anybody was open to looking at that. So ultimately, we designed the web-based curriculum. We identified that the organizations that were going to be involved, the academic organizations and the clinicians, have to really be self-directed. But there were tools, and the tools were in the form of the program so that they can assess, counsel, treat, and they have resources. Because as you know, once something happens in the clinical atmosphere, it doesn't necessarily mean that there are resources externally. So we really built into this program that there are resources available for healthcare professionals. And then we also wanted to see what the engagement process was like. So that was, again, also a secondary component that we looked at, is what does it take to engage academic centers and clinical practices to use a program like this. It's web designed, so people couldn't do it on their own. So the questions included these four main questions, and you could read them easily, but it really attends to, you know, how can this be done and how will they evaluate the course? And then can we compare any aspects of the educational level? Because residencies are less educated but more in education than practitioners. And then what types of practice implementations really are important? And then the overall utilization of the course. So the curriculum, again, I feel like I just went backwards. I think maybe that's the second one. So in any case, you saw the tools and the engagement process. Am I going backwards?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Okay, here we go. Hypothesis. It's actually the right. So this was our hypothesis, to compare the satisfaction, look at the differences, and we really, they're very self-intuitive, as you could see, but that the physicians who engage in the PICME will be satisfied with the process. This was a stretch, because the performance improvement, continuing medical education, is anybody aware of this? Okay. No, there's one person that I know, AMA, but there are a few of them. In any case, for the CME, you get 5 CME credits for the first phase, which is assessing your practice to see if you do this. You get 5 CME credits for when you make a change and determine the change you're going to make. You get 5 CME credits then when you make a change in your practice to improve the care. And then you get 5 when you hand in all 5 of those to say you did it. So you get 20 CME credits. Physicians can get this if you do all 3 of those phases. Now, the thought is this is what's going to improve quality of care. So they want people really to do this with measurement. But we're pushing that this has to be done with issues that are preventative in nature, that attend to potential issues. And as you'll know, with this project, the assessment piece requires the education of medications, of abilities, physiological aspects. So there's a lot of medical potential components. So we felt that this would be a great PICME project. So the pilot center. So as you could see, there's multiple types of practices that were engaged: internal medicine, family medicine, ophthalmology, emergency medicine. So all these different types of residents and physicians came to be. There were 2 practices that were just physician practices, and then there were 4 university settings. And then there were nurses and other healthcare professionals, social workers, that got engaged. For the pilots, we wanted to see how they were going to engage. So this was a very naturalistic project. We wanted to see what their uptake was. So to engage the pilots, we determined we're going to email, do phone calls with people we know, some face-to-face, and then the presentations. The incentives for this, we left up to them. How do they want to engage the residents? And this was very telling. There was one institution that could not do any incentives, as we had the overall IRB with the American Medical Association, but each of the institutions had to get their own IRB. One institutions were not granted an IRB. They were granted the IRB, but they could not do an incentive. So we really wanted to see what did that mean, you know, what happened with that. Well, they came up with very creative ideas, especially for the residency programs and also the practices. So this shows how we really engaged each of them. And we really identified that there's a pre and post test, so that's all in the curriculum. So this curriculum was totally predetermined. It's up on the website. They just had to log in. They got a pre and the post scores. And then we also made sure that others evaluated this, as well as we provided all the logs for the PI CMEs. And we linked this to the reality that residencies have to have a portfolio. So we thought this project and this opportunity that this web-based curriculum, which is an hour long, and we did really see if that is too long or not too long, but it was, you'll see the results from that. In any case, on to the data. So we did both qualitative and quantitative analysis as we engaged them, and we really opened it up for a discussion of what the materials were like, what the engagement process was. And then we also did the quantitative analysis for the PI CME and some of the pre and post, and then the CME all together. So this is the number of individuals that participated. As you can see, there were 57% that participated as residents, and then there were 20%, 25% for physicians and other healthcare practitioners. So we did get a good group of those in educational settings, and then we also got this other group of real-life clinicians to see if this is doable. So the big question about what did they think about the pace, 71% majority felt that it was fine. You know, it was just right. And you saw that it was too fast for only a small portion, and it was too slow for a quarter of them. But then the course overall, with the clarity, the conciseness, the learning style, you could see all that was highly agreed upon. Now, I think that that is reflective because this was a train-the-trainer piece. So it went through a few phases of clarity and making sure that professionals gave feedback to ensure the content was appropriate. And it was a multidisciplinary group that made sure the content was accurate. Then the usefulness of the materials, this is where I think we really highlighted that it's in the questions and the counseling that and the case illustrations, because there was case vignettes. So it was a nice array of both case vignettes, of looking at medical charts, of providing resources. But as you can see, nearly 90% agreed that the materials really enhanced their knowledge and their skills. In addition, the materials that they were most likely to use really were reflective in the medication impact on driving. And as you know, that is one of the biggest concerns that we have right now with the impairment with any motor skills is really the medication and what that is. So there's more and more studies that are now looking at this, but they have learned a lot. And then as you could see in the 30% to 40%, counseling, legal, and interventions. And I think that's where the key of the results really highlight, that healthcare professionals did not know about the legal issues that would be impacted, and they loved the resources that were available. And then they gave them good counseling tips. And then again, the strength of the content, it addressed a significant amount of interviewing and assessing and counseling and identifying the resources and legal. So it's consistently those same topics that it's really in the 90th percentile, which we really are excited about. Now, this is where it was interesting to look at the pre and the post change with their confidence and their familiarity with each of the topic areas. And as you can see, the majority of change really occurred with the familiarity of the driving rehabilitation options. So as you'll see, we gave a significant opportunity for resources to show them the big mirror, to show them that they could have to pull the strap around. So we really provided significant alternatives for them. In addition, the potential for practice changes, again, above 70% with the post, significance in change, counseling, legal issues, and rehabilitation again. And then the follow-up. So we did a follow-up piece to this, and as you can see, 90% nearly believe that the course will change their practice behavior. And and they did learn specific techniques. So we're really excited about that piece. The open-ended questions were really telling about how they felt that this should be a priority in education, and the resources really, again, highlighted their appreciation for the information. With the PICME, it really attended to what they learned, a great deal of information with that performance piece, and that the auditing was very helpful, that they didn't realize what they weren't doing and what they needed to do. So it was significant attention to their changing their practice. And by doing the audits, I feel more confident in making changes involving staff and made the learning process better. And I think that's what we really wanted to make sure we saw with this PICME and how it could be a quality improvement. So there are significant lessons learned. As you can see, the incentives are always an issue. There's champions, face-to-face time is key, as well as then the areas of interest that we want to push this further, really specific visual acuity issues, and the cutoffs for driving are a big piece, as well as other information for resources at the local level to make sure people have that support. This also attends to the basic geriatric competencies that AMA was involved with, and that it supports the number 25 to identify older persons at safety risk to include unsafe driving and develop a plan. So we were very happy that that was in concert. So this is a couple of great quotes that really speak to this issue, but I want to thank you all for your attention and to thank Dr. Karen Peters for her evaluation of all this, the depth of information that we received, and we could go on forever to evaluate it. This is our contact information at the AMA. Currently, it is up on the AMA website. You can link to it directly. There's no fee, no cost. So it's a great and we're getting great feedback that this is an alternative way to provide an educational experience. So I highly recommend it. And if you have any questions, are we taking them now?